Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, December 3rd, 2018. It's hard to believe how fast the year went by. It flew. It really did. Because we've literally went through 90% of the world of the year already. And my faith is that you will all receive something tonight from the Lord as I'm going to be bringing the word of the Lord to you tonight. And it's going to be awesome. Now, I am at McDonald's here at the 1711 South Saginaw Road from Kmart. And I had McChicken, large fry, actually a large order of America's favorite fries, mind you. And to go with it, of course, Miracle Man's favorite, Coca-Cola with no ice. I'm sorry to let you down, Preacher Man. I had to go with the Coke. The Dr. Pepper for me tonight wasn't going to cut it. It's always a blessing whenever the Preacher Man comes on board and talks to us or everything he does for the show. It's awesome. Now, I hope that every one of you listeners takes some time to go and watch the video of me singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Now, my dad made the mistake of saying that the song was called, "O Come Let Us Adore Him," even though the correct title is, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Either way, it's the same song, but 600 plus people have viewed that video. And my hope is that some of you listeners are some of the ones who have viewed them. And if you have listened to the show and haven't watched that video yet, please go watch it because it's awesome. My pastor says something great at me at the start of it. And then right away after the video starts, it's me singing. And by the way, at the end of it, I do sing that part that's about, "For he alone is worthy," because Jesus is very much worthy of our praise. He really is. He really is. And he's very awesome, so I just want to let you know. If you haven't watched the video yet, go watch it. It's only about 4 minutes. You feel the spirit of Christmas time. As after all, it is December now, so there's no need for anybody to be grinching anymore. By the way, on my Facebook, there is a picture of me in front of my Christmas tree decorating it. It was up about a week and a half ago, but a couple days ago, we put more decorations on it and put the finishing touches on it. And it is awesome. And as I said, no one should be Grinching anymore because, after all, it is the 3rd of December. And so, I am going to sing a Christmas song tonight, later on. Believe it or not, it is from the movie The Grinch from the 2000 version. It's going to be Where Are You Christmas? I'm going to be singing it after we do the little monologue before we go into the word. And we are going to sing the song. And then other plans for tonight include, yes, we are going to read from Judges 10. And then Hebrews 11, possibly. And then we're going to exhort for a little bit. And then we have some sports to get to. And I'm very excited about the Pistons this year. They've been doing well. And there will be more on that in that part of the program. And so folks, I don't know about you, but I greatly enjoy this time of year very much. Now, do I like this better or the summer? In my mind, it's always kind of a debate. I love all the music and all the everything that goes with Christmas, you know, the packed stores and all that, all those big, wonderful malls, and when I come to think about it, I think I like Christmas a little more, mainly because it's about my Jesus. Because all summer is, even though there might be godly things in it, like invasion and things like that, and it's just a period of warmer weather. So, I would say Christmas is my favorite. And part of it includes the food. Well, made the decision that they basically are not doing the eggnog shakes this year. I don't know why they're doing that. I don't understand. I feel like they're popular. Very much so. I went home after the show the other night. One of my friends on my Facebook was saying something about it. And then I specifically replied to her post saying, we need an army of people to call the McDonald's headquarters, write to the McDonald's headquarters, get on the McDonald's Twitter page, get on their Facebook, and tell them, we want eggnog back. And part of this army has to be from, like, all over America. It can't just be people from Midland. It can't just be people from Michigan. It can't just be people from Chicago area or from the South. It's got to be a bunch of people from all over. I might get a petition on change.org, and to make it reach more people, I would change it to say, put eggnog shakes back on national menu. Does that make sense? Because it's got to be nationwide, Army. I'm not just talking about here in this town by any means.
Right.
It's kind of like folks listening, like, if I say, you know, we need to turn America back to God. That's not just talking about one voting district. That's talking about the country as a whole.
Yeah.
But it's like that kind of thing because, you know, they just need to look and see. I would say one thing they could do would be maybe to start selling the eggnog at like the end of October. Because then they'd be done with it by right about the 1st of January, I would assume. That way, it wouldn't be like, oh, by the way, it's the end of January. We still got eggnog left. We should be out of it because Shamrock Shakes come. And if advertised properly, it can be a very popular item, just like the Christmas pies are. So I might get a petition out there to change.org and my hope is that all of you listeners will sign it and get everyone you know that loves eggnog shakes to go sign it. Because you might think, oh, McDonald's eggnog shakes. Well, it's just McDonald's. Someone else might have better eggnog shakes than that. I don't know. I had an eggnog shake from another place once, and to be honest with you, it couldn't compare to McDonald's. It couldn't. Eggnog is really good, too. I get that, but there's something to be said about eggnog in a milkshake form from McDonald's. What is it? I don't know. I know it's amazing, though. And my hope is they'll do this next year. And because it really is one of the best that you can buy. I tell you, these America's Best Fries, they're always delicious. Yes, sometimes if they're not as warm, it can affect them a little bit, but they're still just as salty and are still tasty, even though they might not always be as hot. And I know a lot of people are more picky than I am about the fry temperature. I'm not so much. What I want is a McDonald's fry that's still crunchy and salty. That's what I care about. Folks, we're going to open up our Bible in just a minute. After, I am first going to talk a little bit about how to be a part of the program, give the number. After that, we will sing a Christmas carol. Then after that, we will pray, open up the Bible for a little bit. Then we'll get into sports. And if time allows, we may do a second Christmas carol. Because we're going to try to make it two per show now to Christmas, if time allows. All right. So, now, folks, I want to encourage you all to please tell other listeners how they can be a part of the show. And prospective listeners, please tell them. And let them know that they can go to blogtalkradio.com, in the search bar, type in Upfront Entertainment, and then after they type that in, they'll see a link that says Living Large. Click on that. They'll see a little bubble thing that says Miracle Man. After that, they will see, if they get on that, they'll see a button that says like you're on or whatever. And then after that, there'll be a little bubble. It's a like button. I mean a follow button. We want you to hit that follow button because then you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our show. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, showtime. We also have a telephone number where you can call in and be a part of that show that way. And that number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt that says 1, and press 1, please, to call into the live show. My assistant will let me know that we got a caller, and then I'm going to let you in on the phone, and I'll let you speak about generally whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. All right. All right. Now, our first song selection of the evening is going to be a song that I sang at church last year. It has been sung by Josh Groban, along with many other great, wonderful artists. And it is called Oh Holy Night. Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It was the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, of yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, a night divine. Oh night when Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night divine. Surely he taught us to love one another, and his spirit is peace. Surely he taught For the slave is a brother, name of his name, all oppression shall cease. Always the new and glorious morning. Let all we hear in us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let man forever praise him, his power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Amen. Now, let's, and then we're going to go to Judges chapter 11 for a few minutes. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for these listeners, every one of them, wherever they are across this globe. My prayer is, Father, that you bless these listeners for taking this time to be a part of this great program. My prayer, God, Father, is that they receive something from you. Yes, I'm speaking, but you're the one who's going to reveal these things to them. And I thank you that they have a mind ready to receive it and ears ready to hear. In the name, the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I say that you use me as an oracle tonight, and that may I be heard very clearly. And Lord, I confess over the show that we have new equipment coming to this program, more and more listeners coming to this program, that we have sponsors and partners who want to get on board and help us. And we have increases in audience coming to this program. And most importantly, souls coming to this program. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, folks, let's have Bibles, please, to the book of Judges chapter 11. All right, Judges 11. We're going to keep looking at, going along, talking about the children of Israel. Now, next week, we're going to be delving in a bit more into the teachings on Jesus and his birth. And what did the birth of Jesus do for us? And what did he come onto this earth to do? We'll delve into some things like that. And even Mary and how Mary and Joseph and the wise man and all this stuff. That's what we're going to be focusing on the 2 weeks after this. So the 10th through the 12th, and then the 17th through the 19th on those programs. That's what we're going to be doing. If we do a show on the 24th, which would be a Monday, it'll be a night, it'd be shortened, and it would be. I'd figure out a way how to actually play some music on this program, maybe. And there might be a couple of songs from me myself as well, of course. And then maybe a few nuggets. If not, I'll be fitting those in one of the shows, like, of the week before Christmas. So, after this week, between then and Christmas, it's going to be more centered on the birth of Jesus and stuff like that. But for right now, we're going to the 11th chapter of Judges. I have found my spot, but I want to encourage you, my listeners, to follow along with me. Be a part. If I sing again, somehow you sing. I pray, you pray. I raise my hands unto the Lord and just decide to kind of praise the Lord a little bit. You go ahead and do it too. Whatever I do here where I'm at, you do where you are. All right. Let's open it up. All right. A little better on time. So Judges 11. Judges chapter 11. Here we go. Jonathan the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You're not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers, and he settled in the land of Tobah, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tobah. Come, they said, be our commander, so that we can fight the Ammonites, they said to them. Didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come here to fight the Ammonites, and you will be our head over all who live in Gilead. Jephthah answered, suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head? The elders of Gilead replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And he repeated all his words for the Lord in Mizpah. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the Ammonites, king of the people. What do you have against us that you have attacked our country? The king of the Amorites answered, Jephthah's messengers, when Israel came up out of Egypt, they took away my land from the Ammon to the Jabbok, all of the way to the Jordan. Now give it back peacefully. Jephthah sent back messengers to the Ammonite king, saying, "This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not take the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up out of Egypt, Israel went through the desert to the Red Sea and on to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Give us permission to go through your country.' But the king of Edom would not listen. They sent also to the king of Moab, and he refused as well. So Israel stayed at Kadesh. Next, they traveled through the desert, skirted the lands of Edom and Moab, passed along the eastern side of the country of Moab, and they camped on the other side of the Arnon. They did not enter the territory of Moab, and the Arnon was its border. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon, and said to him, 'Let us pass through your country to our own place.' Sidon, however, did not trust Israel to pass through the territory. He mustered all his men and encamped at Jahaz, and he fought with Israel. Then the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sidon and all his men into Israel's hands, and they defeated them. Israel took over all the land of the Amorites who lived in that country, capturing all of it from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the desert to the Jordan. Now, since the Lord, the God of Israel, has driven the Ammonites out before his people to Israel, what right have you to take it over? Will you not take what your God, Chemosh, gives you? Likewise, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. Are you better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever quarrel with Israel or fight with them? For 300 years, Israel occupied Heshbon, Aroer, surrounding settlements, and all of the towns along the Arnon. Why didn't you retake them during that time? I have not wronged you, but you are doing me wrong by waging war against me. Let the Lord, the judge, decide the dispute this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites." The king of Heshbon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came to Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Amorites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnad, far as Abel Kershim. Thus Israel subdued Arnon. When Jephthah returned to his house in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of tambourines? She was an only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable, and you have wretched, because I have made a vow to the Lord that I can't break." "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you with your enemies, the Ammonites, but grant me this one request," she said. "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and to weep with my friends, because I will never marry." "You may go," he said. And he let her go for 2 months. She and the girls went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed. She was a virgin. From this comes the Israelite custom. Each year, the young women of Israel go out for 4 days to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite. Let me just see how long this is. We got a really short chapter here in 12, so listeners, go ahead and follow along with me as we're going to read chapter 12 as well. And of course, we're going to begin with verse 1. "And the men of Ephraim called out to the forces, crossed over to Zephon, and said to Jephthah, 'Why did you go to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn down your house over your head.' Jephthah answered, 'I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you would not help, I took my life in my hands, and I crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me victory. He gave me the victory over them. Now, why have you come today to fight me? Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, "You Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan, leading to Ephraim, and whenever a superior of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied, "No," they said, "All right, stay to Shiliathim." If he said Stivial, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, then they seized him and they killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. We just have a few more verses left, so we will continue. Verse 8 now. After him, Ebzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. A lot of family there, 60 kids. That would be crazy. Lining up 60 kids in your house. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we got 60 kids to get ready for school.
We would need, like, 6 houses.
Or like 10 bathrooms at least. You guys all get A, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. Like for the bathroom, you know? And all the buses leave at 8 o'clock or whenever they leave, you know?
Yeah.
After Israel, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. And for his sons, he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ebzan led Israel for 7 years. Then Ebzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Luzite, led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died, and he was buried in Ergon, in the land of Zebulun. Verse 13 now. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel from Perathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died, and he was buried at Perathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. All right. So, Jephthah was a great servant of the Lord. And let me tell you something about him. He fought battles all the time. You know, he went to war against, you know, the various groups of people. And obviously, certain countries like the Moabites and another group would not let him pass through. But they went through the desert. Guess what? They ended up victorious through God. Not on their own. God helped them lead Israel to victory. You know, when I think of the battles that in my life, all the various battles, you know, everyone goes through stuff, myself included, of course. Everyone goes through stuff. And folks listening to me, you have to decide, am I going to go through this on my own, thinking that I just know I can win? Or am I going to call God on scene and let God help me? Because God will help you more than what you know how to help yourself in the battle. He'll be your coach. Yes, he will, and he'll help you. And you got to ask him for guidance. You got to ask him to help you, to deliver you. You fighting that disease, you fighting that addiction, you're dealing with this kid, your son or daughter, maybe they're addicted to some opioids or some other stuff, and you got to deal with that battle. You got to talk to God about it. You got to go to God and say, Jesus, help me. I want to win this battle. I call myself healed, or I call my son to get off from all these and send laborers, God, because we're going to win. We're going to see my son off of these in the name of Jesus, or in your body. I claim my body healed in the name of Jesus. And I claim that through you, you're going to make a way for me when there seems to be no way. Those, they might say, oh, you have this bug. I say, I don't have it. I don't possess it. It's not mine. The devil tried to attack me, and he's not winning anymore. Because I am healed of the Lord. And I win. And later on, after the holidays, when we get into 1 Samuel, we're going to be getting into some stuff on David. You know, like David and Goliath. David on his own, he wasn't supposed to beat Goliath. Oh, no. That Goliath was huge. That Goliath, he was ready to fight. He was ready to go. He was ready to take down that little kid. I mean, that little David. But David had the Holy Spirit, and he had those stones. And guess what? God helped him. He won. And then there was a bear. Went over that too.
I think about how Jephthah led Israel, and they fought all those battles. It's like us. When we fight these battles, that might be bigger than we are. I think of the first family at church, and James with their daughter, Jaden. She died. She drowned in that pool. Should have stayed dead. But guess what? God had another plan. Vicky, a very bad form of cancer, kills most women who get it. Lived. Was cancer free just over nearly 40 days after was diagnosis. Trisha, Josh's wife, Josh Barclay's wife, same deal. Cancer, should have killed her. Healed. And both of those women I just told you about are set free to this day. Still. Dawn Hatt was fighting some things in her body. Healed of the Lord. Malachi, pastor and Vicky's grandson. They were told that he was going to be blind and that he could have died very early. He's not blind at all, and he's doing awesome. So just in that family alone, you see people who fought battles and won. And let me tell you, we all got battles, even if they're not as big as those ones, the ones I told you about. Everyone has stuff. God's still going to help you win it. You ask him to help you win. Because guess what? God wants to see you victorious. He does. God loves us. He cares about us. He doesn't just want us to succeed at getting part of it. He wants to see us win. Now, folks, let me remind you of something that I have said I think I've said it at least 3 times on this show before. Not this episode, but this is a nugget that one of Pastor's fathers in the faith told Pastor Buckley. And he has shared it a few times from the pulpit that I know of. Here's what it is. If you do not win the battle in your mind, you will not win the battle. So you got to get your confession right. You got to get your thoughts right in your mind. You don't got to think, I won't ever be healed from this. This is too big. My son, like I said earlier, he'll just end up dying. No. When you say that kind of stuff, you're asking for defeat. You are. But if you say, no, I win. I call healing over my body in the name of Jesus. I claim that in the name of Jesus, I win. And I claim deliverance to my child. I give all this to you. But the mind likes to think thoughts that are contrary to God. That's why you have to, all the time, wash your mind with the water of the Word of God. Because and guess what? God knows our mind thinks those thoughts. And I think of in Romans where it says, do not be conformed to the spirit of, by the spirit of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What I think about it. That's what I think.
Yes. Jenny would like you to pray for her Aunt Lynette.
All righty. Okay. Dear God, I thank you right now over Jenny's Aunt Lynette. And guess what, God? I might not know everything, Lord, but you do. You know everything, God. And I claim that you're just going to deal with this situation right now. And you're just going to heal her body. And just give her everything that she needs, Father. Because you know what she needs more than I do. You know more about it than Jenny does. And I pray that in the name of Jesus that you're just going to help her out. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Now, I was just taking a little sip of it. Beverage, but see, you don't have to go through all this stuff on your own. God wants to help you, but you got to ask Him, and you got to have belief, you got to have that faith that He's going to help you and that you're going to get that healing, whether it's for you or for other relatives, or that deliverance. Or that other breakthrough that you believe in for. And God is the answer. He has the answer. And there's a thought that comes to my mind right now. I've said it several times on the show, but it never gets old. You want to know what it is? It's this. We're real people. We have real problems. But we serve a real God who is more than able to deliver us. He's more than able to deliver us. And He knows everything. Amen. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this word tonight, for these listeners that are listening. And Lord, I take a minute right now to pray over these listeners. And I pray right now that I thank you right now that you are our ever-present help in time of need. When we go through battles, big or small, you're always there for us. When we think it's too big, you're there and you're helping us. And you're rescuing us. And I thank you, Lord, that we will all work on our minds and getting them right with you so that we can always win the battle. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, I'm not going to apologize for getting late to sports because I think we had a good time in the Word, and I think that's kind of what the Lord wanted for tonight, because I do it based on how the Lord. Now, in terms of sports, let me start with Michigan State. Well, they were doing really good. Had only one loss, but then Wednesday night, fell to Louisville, 82-80, overtime. But still played a solid game. Now they're ranked number like 10 or 11. Michigan, however, continues to win and win big. They won Wednesday night over North Carolina, and then they turn around and won Saturday over Purdue. They're doing good. They're ranked like number 6 now, I believe, in America, and they are just rolling, despite having 3 of the 4 biggest scores not that they had last year, not here this year, and they're still doing amazing. So, kudos to the Michigan Wolverines on that. Now, and Detroit. That's right, Detroit basketball. By the way, Cassidy, I think you know where I got that from, was from Mason, who used to yell that out back when Detroit won the championship last time in 04. Do you remember that from when you were young, Cassidy?
In 04? I was only 9 years
old. You might have remembered hearing about it or something, maybe.
No, I don't.
Well, Mason, at one point, he was, in fact, my absolute favorite sports broadcaster. And he still is up there. What he is the play-by-play stadium announcer for the Pistons down there at Little Caesars Arena. And by the way, listeners, I was there in February. And for some of you listeners who were not listening back then, who are into the sports, it is a very nice facility. I got to see it. Although I didn't get to go into all the public areas. Next time I go to a Pistons game, I'll make sure to go to, like, the areas that are public that aren't exactly seating, but I'll go to, like, whatever's public so that you can kind of see for yourself. Now, one place I have eaten at one of them, it is called Kid Rock's All-American Grill or something like that. They're at Little Caesars Arena, and they had some really good food there. It's traditional American fare. I actually went there the day after my birthday in celebration of my birthday, and it was awesome. It was great food and a great atmosphere, and we enjoyed it. And so, yeah, that was really was pretty cool. But to say the Pistons, they are on a 5-game losing winning streak. So now they're like 16-7. And they are doing awesome. They had, in fact, a 111-102 victory against the Warriors
the defending champs on Saturday night. And from what I understand, that crowd on Saturday night was not only a sellout crowd, but a raucous crowd. Very loud, very much into it. At one point, when they kind of needed it, one of the players looked at the crowd and said, like, come on, keep it going. And it was, it's awesome to see that they are really doing awesome. And you say, Miracle Man, are you going to ask Santa Claus for tickets again to go to the Pistons? Well, guess what? I just might. Because when little kids want toys, sports fans want tickets. That's what I have to say about it. So for us guys, it should really be, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right comes Santa Claus, he's got a bag that's full of tickets to the basketball game or football game or whatever. That's what it should really say for us sports guys. That's what it should really say because, yeah, we can all believe in Santa. But for me, instead of saying that he has a bag of toys, I say he has sport tickets. That's what I like to say. By the way, I came up with that this year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Like, folks, earlier, like, just after Thanksgiving, this idea that he would have tickets. Because, you know, I'll say, you know, they're toys or whatever, but it's, like, based on your interest, you know? And that's my take on it. You have yours. But, you know, some of you women, some of you ladies, you'd probably be asking them for jewelry or shoes. Don't ask them for a diamond ring because I don't know that I'll give you a diamond ring. I don't know if he'll give you a diamond ring. Who knows? But nonetheless, as far as the sports go, it was very good for the Pistons, and they are rolling along. Now, let's get to football. Start with college. First off, Ohio State, Northwestern, Indianapolis. Buckeyes win 40-21. Great win for the Buckeyes, but guess what? They didn't make the college football playoff. Why didn't they, you may ask? And I can hear some of your listeners saying, well, Ohio State's the only team in America that didn't make the college football playoff to have beaten a number four, the team that did. Well, to that I say, you forgot something, Buckeye fans. You forgot that your team lost by over 20 to Purdue. A Purdue team that Michigan State later beat the next week. And guess what? That kind of stuff comes into play. Just like how last year, how Ohio State lost to Iowa. And I thought for sure that since Alabama lost to Auburn last year, that they wouldn't have made the playoff, and it would have been Georgia because they beat Auburn. But it didn't turn out that way. So Ohio State does not make it. Game two. SEC championship game. Saturday in Atlanta. Alabama, Crimson Tide versus Georgia Bulldogs. The Bulldogs played with heart through pretty much the entire game. Now Georgia did something they shouldn't have done. They went for it on 4th and 11. 4th and 11, folks. 4th and 11. And it become,
And then, sure enough, they go for a pass. It's incomplete. Next play, Alabama, big time, touchdown. I think that was the game sealer right there, as the Tide went it 35-28. You say, Miracle Man, did you pick Alabama or not? In case you listeners, maybe you didn't listen on Wednesday night, I did pick Alabama to win, and I got it right. I also figured it would probably be a one-score game. I was right. So to you folks who may be from Georgia, maybe who are listening, I'm sorry you guys don't get to go to the college football playoff like you did last year, but Alabama beat you. I figured they would. Both of these teams, Ohio State and Georgia, still get to play in pretty good bowl games. Let's go to Big 12 now. Texas, Oklahoma, in Dallas. Oklahoma wins it 37-24. I picked Texas. No bias at all. I picked them partially because they beat Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl Classic or whatever it's called in October. Every year in Dallas, generally at the Cotton Bowl Stadium. Well, Texas, this time they lost to the Sooners. As I said, 37-24. So, as a result, Oklahoma is in the title game. So, in order, pretty much, number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. Number three, Notre Dame. Number four, Oklahoma. The way this works, number four, Oklahoma, will play number one, Alabama. On the other side, number two, Clemson, will play number three, Notre Dame. That's the way this works. What do I think about the college football playoff going forward? I would like to see it go to an 8 game. Because then this will give... This means even if you don't get in there as one of the four, now you'll be one of the eight. So you could. What would that do? Would be allow for hopefully more conferences to be represented. Because you'll by then, hopefully, you'll be able to get all five of the Power Five. So, for example, an SEC, a Big Ten, a Pac-10, a Big 12, and an ACC. You say, what do you think about that? Well, I think very fair. And then maybe you could have like a Florida State. I mean, a Central Florida, who was an undefeated school. You could have had them in there with that kind of format. As well as maybe Georgia. And then maybe a USC or something. So you could generally have 8 teams. It would be all of the 8 best teams in college football. 8, whittled to 4, whittled to 2. It's as easy as that. eventually I would like to see that indoor 16, but I got to think about how that would work out. And quite honestly, before I give you any ideas, I'm going to be listening for some of the other sports people that I listen to, like Mike Golick, among others, and see what they have to say about this. Let's go to the NFL. In the world of football, Thursday night, Saints, Cowboys. I said Saints would win. Cowboys 13, Saints 10. The Saints defense, I mean the Cowboys defense, was able to, in front of their home crowd in Dallas, they were able to shut down the New Orleans Saints offense for most of the night. They only gave up 10 points. One touchdown from Drew Brees. That was it. One. Usually the Saints are accustomed to scoring at least like 21 points a game, at least. Not Thursday night, though, as they only were able to score 10. And then for the Cowboys now, 7-5. And for you folks who are wondering, Cowboys, contender or pretender? I would say it has become more clear to me now that I feel like they are a contender. When they started winning, even 2 weeks ago, I would have said maybe contender, maybe pretender. Then Thanksgiving came around and I was like, okay, this was good. And then this past Thursday, Cowboys won, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is it. Now they're doing well. Now they're contending. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And let's face it, they are called, quote-unquote, America's team. And legend goes that in the old Cowboy Stadium, that there was a hole in the roof of that stadium so that God could watch his favorite team, the Cowboys, play football. Don't you think that's pretty funny, Cassidy?
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
I like that, folks, to be honest with you. I love that joke. I really do, and that's part of why I really do enjoy the Cowboys. All right. Now, the defense had played decent until the fourth quarter, as it had been, like, 20-6, like, it had been, like, you know, 17-16 or whatever, it had been really close. But then, unfortunately, Lions gave up a bunch of points in the fourth quarter, 2 touchdowns, and they ended up falling 30-16. There's some guys on the offensive linemen that are good. There's other guys that just make it look like garbage. Getting rid of Tate might have not been a great idea after all. Because the Lions have been struggling to score points ever since then. They were scoring a lot more early on when they had both of them. Now they're not doing as well. They're not. 4-8, you can forget them making the playoffs. You can also forget a winning season, unfortunately. And then Patriots-Vikes. Patriots, another win. Tom Brady doing what he does best, getting it done over there in New England. And as they get the win. And then for Sunday night football, you had the Chargers beating the Steelers 33-30 in Pittsburgh. I will be talking about Monday night football tomorrow night after that game is complete. Which, by the way, you can listen to Monday Night Football on the Yahoo Sports app on your mobile device. And with that, folks, we have time for another Christmas Carol. Now that, I purposely said no guarantee, but I was doing my best to try to save enough time. And luckily, I did. So, with that, I was just thinking here. How many of you guys think about when you were little, thinking the world was yours, just thinking, you know, how awesome it was. Think about the way things used to be. So with that, I hereby bring you Christmas through your eyes. I see the rainbow shining through the clouds. When I see you looking through the stars, I want you to show me how to believe again, to show me how to live through your young heart. Help me find a way, help me try. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want everything to be the way it used to be. Back to being a child again, thinking the world was mine. I want to see Christmas, Christmas through your eyes. I want to see Christmas through your eyes. I want everything to be the way it used to be. Back to being a child again, thinking the world was mine. I want to see Christmas, Christmas through your eyes. I want to see Christmas, Christmas through your eyes. That's by a wonderful Christmas song many years ago. Until a few years ago, I had never heard it. And then for a few years, until the last couple of years, I had, like, never heard it. And then the last 3 years, I've been hearing it again. It's been nice to hear some of the real old Christmas carols you might have heard long, long, long ago, and then didn't hear them for quite a while, coming back. And that's one of them. There's been another one that I've been hearing a bit lately when I've been, like, in stores or malls or whatever, and there's a part where it says, give thanks to God above. I don't know how new it is or how old it is, but I've been hearing it lately, and it sounds pretty cool. And once I find it, I'm going to get that on this program. This is about the only program that I know of where not only do you get the Word of God McDonald's announcements, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, of course, you also get Word of God, and then you get sports, and then this time of the year, you're getting Christmas carols to go with it. So I don't know how you can beat that. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.